Welcome to That's What She Said, the podcast of mostly sermons, mostly by our pastor, Katie Hayes, that's me, mostly in worship with Galileo Church in Mansfield, Texas. If you enjoy the podcast, we invite you to share in its production. On our website, galileochurch.org, click on Conspire With Us. There you'll find a button that says Donate. We're a baby church, and money's not our strongest asset. We're always happy to receive your help. We're glad you're listening. The best sermons inspire conversation, so please let us know what you think. Peace. So over several weeks of Eastertide, we've been talking together about seven ways to say yes. We're doing that in preparation for the covenant of co-conspiracy that we have to make for the first time or renew for another year next week on Pentecost Sunday. And so we've come to the time in this series when we're talking about the sixth habit of life for those who join the co-conspiracy of Galileo Church. The sixth habit of life is the gracious receipt of care from the church family. And so I'm reading from John chapter 13. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't know now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." And Peter said to him, "Oh, you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean. You are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. That is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The summer that my grandmother was dying, I learned a few things. I learned that her legs and feet, which had hurt from arthritis for years and years and years and years, were the principal reason that she could now not get even a few hours of good sleep at night. And I learned that her exhaustion from all those sleepless nights was exacerbating her worry and tears in the daylight hours. And I learned that just a few minutes rubbing her feet and calves with this strong-smelling analgesic cream would ease the ache for a little while and let her rest. And I learned that she was very unlikely to ask for a foot rub, not from her granddaughter, not even if it was my turn to stay the night with her. But I learned that she would receive one with silent gratitude if I came to kneel at the foot of her bed with the tube of that smelly stuff that she loved so much. She was unlikely to ask because while the massage was the right medicine for her suffering, it caused a different kind of pain to admit that she needed it. You can understand that, yeah? You can understand what it's like to spend so much of your life demonstrating your own strong competence that you forget how to ask for help. Maybe you don't forget exactly. You just develop a hard-to-break habit of shoving aside your own neediness to avoid appearing weak in the eyes of the one who could be of help. Or could it be the opposite? Maybe it's that you imagine yourself so thoroughly broken that any help you might receive would be like pouring a little coffee cup of water down a deep, steep cavern, hoping to fill it up one cup at a time. You know that effort would be fruitless. You would still be broken. Your helper would be shocked at the depth of your need. Now, weirdly, I have found that it can actually be both at the same time, at least in my own twisted heart. I can be both protective of my reputation as a person who gets things done and doesn't need much help from anybody to do it, and quite certain that if anybody found out what a mess I actually am, they would lose any respect they once had for me, and I would deserve it. This is the syndrome known as simultaneous IAAPOSAWWWR. Simultaneously, I am a piece of shit around whom the whole world revolves. Thank you, Anne Lamott. My grandmother had this syndrome at the end of her life. She was mortified to give up her identity as the caregiver. She had wiped my little hiney enough times 40 years before that she really disenjoyed the reversal of our roles. And in the darkest hours of those long, dying nights, she whispered her deepest fear that no matter how good a person, how good a Christian she seemed to be to those who knew her, God knew the truth, that she was not a good person nor a good Christian in her heart, and that God would call her to account for it. My grandmother was strong. My grandmother was weak. She was both. So am I. I don't know if it was misplaced strength or misplaced weakness driving Simon Peter to retract his sweaty paws under his robe that evening before supper. "Oh, you will never wash my feet," he said stubbornly to Jesus, who knelt naked on the floor with his basin of water. And maybe he meant, "No, I'm here to take care of you, see? I got my sword and my swagger. I'm woke, and I'm going to stay woke through this whole night to keep an eye on you and make sure you get through this okay. In which case, Jesus, you can't be washing my feet because I'm here for you. Put your clothes on, man. Take your seat at the head of the table. Stay away from my feet." Or maybe Peter already understood on some level that this really wasn't about the feet, that it was about the need to be washed clean of every fear and every fantasy, the need to scrub away every instance of sin and sinned against in his personal history. And maybe he knew that if Jesus got started, he was going to have to scrub right through the night and well into the next morning's coffee once he figured out where Peter was hiding all the awfulest stuff. "Bye, let's don't go there, Jesus. Ain't nobody got time for that, Lord. Our dinner's getting cold. It's okay with me if we just never ever, I mean really never ever, talk about the deep down stains on me. You will never wash my feet." Too strong? Too weak? Or both? Both. Simultaneously, I am a piece of shit around whom the whole world revolves. Either way, the outcome is the same. Put away your towel, Jesus, empty that bucket, leave my feet the hell alone. Except we would never say that to Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus actual. I mean, we have long since come to terms with the fact that he is in the washing business, or the feet business, come to think of it. That is to say, Jesus is right down there in the middle of the darkest night with his Ben-Gay and his strong, scarred carpenter's hands, ready to relieve our suffering, wash us clean, help us rest, ready to pull back the covers on our calluses, our stink, our sweat, ready to deal with the evidence of all the miles we have traveled, all the places we've been, ready to receive our plaintive confession that we cannot go one step further, not like this. And thanks be to God, because we know we need that kind of help. We're not as foolish as Peter, not imagining ourselves to be the Lord's protector. I mean, by the time you get to Galileo Church, you've long since given up on that. You're barely on the Jesus team anymore, barely warming the bench. You no longer hustle with all the other players, eager to get the ball, eager to shoot, eager to score points in the sociocultural game of who's righter than everybody else. You've lost your love of that game. You kind of wonder how much longer they're even going to keep letting you put on the uniform. And so I'm guessing that if Jesus actual came around with the bucket and the towel and offered to clean you up, help you rest, you'd probably be okay with that. Because you're here. And honestly, coming to a last-ditch church with hand-me-down furniture in a barn down below the interstate is about as clear an admission of spiritual need as I can imagine. You are ready for Jesus to wash your feet. And I sincerely hope that you have felt a little cleaner each time you have been here, not just your feet, but your hands and your head as well. But what if I told you that Jesus is not coming tonight? That the carpenter from Nazareth is on a kind of permanent sabbatical at the right hand of God. And instead, the plan for getting your feet washed tonight and from here on out is to let the body of Christ do that work for you. I mean, all these people who are now the gentle hands of Jesus, the kneeling knees of Jesus, the soothing voice of Jesus, the bowing head of Jesus, the furrowed brow of Jesus, the soft warm lap of Jesus, the muscled arms of Jesus. What if I told you that the only way to get your feet washed now is to show them to this embodiment of the Savior, this church, these people sitting to your right and your left, in front of you, behind you? See, we've been naming all these ways that we can say yes, yes, to prioritizing the mission of Galileo Church, all the ways that we can powerfully demonstrate our commitment to the conspiracy of this scandalous gospel that God's love is the realest thing in the world, all these things that we do. We contemplate our baptisms. We are present in the life of the church, physically and emotionally. We cultivate spiritual goods for the life of the church and the community. We share material resources for the continuation of the church's life. We extend the welcome of the church to beloveds, neighbors, strangers, and enemies. And all these are good things. They were powerful things. They are things that I can do most days if I'm feeling strong and have energy to spare. But now we get to this one, number 6. And it says that I have to graciously receive care from the church family? Not that I have to wash anybody's feet, but that I have to be ready for my own vulnerabilities to be uncovered. I gotta tell somebody where it hurts. I gotta show somebody where it stinks. Reveal where it needs attention the most. I have to let somebody kneel in front of me and hold my hurt, my shame, my feet, my heart in their hands. I have to let you see me, hear me, hold me, love me. And oh, I know if we took a poll tonight, there are a whole bunch of people here who would rather wash than be washed. You know what I mean? Because sometime back there on your personal timeline, you did what you had to do. The amount of hurt being flung at you was so much. It was too much. And so you put your shields up You got so tough that your calluses had calluses, and I don't mean the ones on your feet. I mean the ones on your spirit, that tenderest part of you. And that's what you had to do to survive and to keep moving forward and to keep getting up every day and going to school or going to work or going downstairs for breakfast with your family. And now you are glad to be here, yeah, but you are not feeling like it would be the smartest thing to lower those shields and let these people in. Uh-uh, church, nah, you will never wash my feet. But what if Jesus wants to wash your feet and we're the only way he's got to do that now? Let me also just confess that Galileo Church is not the most skilled foot washer you will ever meet. Not yet. I mean, sometimes we are clumsy with each other's vulnerabilities. Sometimes we lack experience. We are young. Everything is new. We do not have a cadre of retirees who are at the ready with a casserole that is hard on the stomach but good for the soul. We sometimes let expressions of sorrow or anxiety just go on by on social media without comment, without the promise of prayer because sometimes we're not sure it's for us. Sometimes we're busy. Sometimes we're just scrolling to pass the time and your pain just popped up and we weren't ready. We miss significant milestones sometimes because we're wrapped up in our own milestones. We're turning 4 years old next week, you know, like the toddler we are. And sometimes we're just clumsy because we are overwhelmed with a surging tide of new hurts that walks in that door every time somebody new shows up here. And maybe you have experienced our inexperience. Maybe you have shown us your feet and waited for the water or the analgesic cream, and it never came. I'm sorry. We can do better. We will do better. Will you be gracious enough, brave enough, to let us try again? Peter said to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Now, Galileo Church is not quite ready to say that you have no share with us if you don't graciously receive care from the church family, but you should know it's something we're aiming for, that everybody here would be vulnerable enough to let us try. It's one of the ways that we say yes to each other, to this gospel conspiracy, to God. It's one of the ways that we embody Jesus' own ministry in this, the body of Christ. It is one of the ways we do real relationship, no bullshit ever. Tonight, our reflection station over there gives you the chance to practice, not foot washing, thanks be to God, but a hand massage, short and simple with sweet-smelling cream, from anybody who is willing to hold your hand in theirs and squeeze out the tension and rub in the steadfast love. I know you might not love that, but you might. And you just might get an inkling of the Christ who knelt to wash the feet of his friends right here in the big red barn, in the face and voice and hands of the person you share yourself with. May God be with us in the trying. Shields down, everybody.